Let's turn again to First Chronicle, as this description of God is given. We began to talk about the sovereignty of God, operating in the sovereignty of God on Sunday. Tonight, I want you to hear what we're going to talk about, accessing the sovereignty of God in every situation. Now, there are certain things that have held that back from us. We have given too much accreditation to demons. We have denominationalized, I don't know if that's a word, the church with so many denominations with men power that it held back the sovereignty of God. The church, again, I'm hearing a lot of stuff, but the church is not a democracy. The church is a theocracy. God got ready to deliver the children of Israel. He called Moses. He got ready to put somebody in Moses' place. He ain't need no committee. He put Joshua in there. So a lot of diluted power will begin to return to the body of Christ because she got to have it now. So as we hear the description of God, I want you to hear clearly in 1 Chronicles 29:10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Notice the length of time. Thine, O Lord, and look at his description, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory. And I told you, underline all those words, and the majesty. For all, and notice the word all there, all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. You see that? Yeah. All right, he said in verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. You see that word all? Yeah. All. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. I want you to see all those descriptions that he gave of God by revelation. And I believe in those, I said about 13 attributes of God's sovereignty is there. And I believe within them, everything else is covered. He's the sovereign God. He's the supreme. He's the only one have independent authority. In other words, he have not to consult with anybody. He's the absolute. And when you realize your connection, I'm going to read two other scriptures for our benefit to recognize in 1 Peter 2:9. Because full description is given in you there of 1 Peter 2:9. Full description is given of you. And it is the superiority or the supremeness of God being passed down to his children. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. In 1 Peter 2:9, now this is a verse, but there's a cuss word in this verse. Holy. Holy is a cuss word to the church. Holy is a cuss word in the pulpit. It's a word that we shouldn't use. And within the holiness of a believer is where the sovereignty take off. Satan restricts sovereignty in believers by unholy living. And you read the scriptures, you got a right to that. Satan said, no, you don't have a right to that. She don't have a right to that. And God can't do nothing about it. You see how important holiness is? Yeah. And so I want Word of Life Christians and all those who are sharing with us in this season to understand, I'm going to read another scripture about holiness. It's so important to live a holy life, a set-apart life. You designed to live holy. So you're in 1 Corinthians 2:9. Look at this. 1 Peter 2:9, excuse me. but you are a chosen generation. Underline the word chosen. Every now and then tell yourself you're chosen. You're chosen to operate in the self-same power that Jesus operated in. You're chosen. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And now put underline the word royal. Raw mean you in a high class family. Matter of fact, the highest class you can go, you see. But you see, if you don't understand that, you notice chosen come first. And then your raw priesthood. And then he says, and holy nation. Now that word holy nation. And then he said, a peculiar people. Now underline the word peculiar. So that's four descriptions you need to look up that you should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, and then we know the Bible says you're the light of the world. See, right? You know that, right? And then let's go right back to 1 Peter, and then we'll begin to deal with what we're going to deal with tonight. 1 Peter, but we're at 1 Peter, now we'll go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 1. What the Holy Spirit is aiming to do, my brothers and sisters, is make a divine connection with you and I with the sovereignty of God. In other words, supreme authority. When, as ambassadors of Christ, as he sent us out, he give us his authority, his ability, his anointing. And here in 2 Peter, I want to read 1 through the 4th verse. 1 through the 4th verse. Let me get it in here. 2 Peter 1. Well, she got it right there. Simon Peter, a servant. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So we got an apostle talking to us. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2 now. Watch what he say. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3. According, now I want you to listen, see. If you see here, you're going to see the sovereignty of God has been placed in you as you stay connected to him properly. Not for you to be assured, but to glorify and to magnify him. According as his divine power, who divine power? Has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That word godliness now has something to do, it bumped with holiness. Through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Now look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great, underline some of them words, exceeding great and precious promises that by these you might be what? Partakers of what? Look at it. Partakers of what? Of his divine nature. That's where the sovereignty is, in his divine nature. And then he says, when you understand that, it's over. The end of the verse says, it's over. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, it's lust that pulls you out of holiness. Hungry for power pulls you out of holiness. See, we got to be in a yield position. So in accessing the sovereignty of God. Now listen very carefully, because I want these messages to be livable. You understand? Not just while I'm preaching. I want them to be livable, because you're going to need these messages in this information society. We talked about that Sunday, in a different society. Accessing the sovereignty of God in every situation. That's powerful. Now, the first thing the Holy Spirit inspired me to say here under that. You must know what is available to you at all times. You must know that this greatness and this majesty and this glory and this riches and this honor there in First Chronicle 29 is available to you at all time. And then he said, my brother and sister, I tell you this, if you listen and you know that you have access to the sovereignty of God, you'll be able now to come to a revelation of activating that sovereignty in life situation. So you must know what is available to you at all time. And then he said, tell you, you will never be stuck, tricked, trapped, or defeated again. Wow. Wow. Did you hear that? You will not, when you know what is available to you at all time, all right, Lord, I'll say it. Don't let no man or woman put you at a certain level and leave you there. Don't let no man or woman become your God. God is God. He's the sovereign one. And so when you hear the word can't, get in your car. Because there's no such word. Not with God. Not if it's within his criteria of his word, his will, his plan, his purpose. There is no word in God's mouth called can't. There's no impossibility. In the sovereignty of God, there is no impossibility. All right? All right. You see, we got to stop making Satan a competition. He's not a competition. So we got to stop wasting all this time talking to him about, I got you. No, he already defeated. Walk on him. Luke 10:19 said, behold, I give you power to tread. See, that treadness is in that sovereignty. It's not in religion. It's not in man-made ideal. It's in you personally knowing that I have a sovereign nature on the inside of me. Powerful, man. You'll never be stuck, tricked, trapped, or defeated again. Now, you ready? You got your seatbelt on? You ready to go to another level? Anybody out there ready to go to another level?
Yes.
I heard this from the Holy Ghost. Never heard it before in my life, but I got it now. I'm going to give it to you in just meditating and waiting what he wants me to say. The definition of the sovereignty of God is I am. The definition of the sovereignty of God is I am. Nobody else can say that unless they're connected. See that there's... there's no category, there's no criteria, there's no situation, there's no opposition, there's nothing that I am can't handle. And so now what the Spirit of God said is, come to the realization how to activate your I am connection. You didn't see it. See. By me being a partaker of the divine, that's all Jesus said, I'm the vine. I'm the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He was activating his superior connection to the superior one.
Yes, sir.
You see it?
Yeah.
And so, jam, block, lock, stop, no more. Because if you're hearing the voice of the Spirit tonight, you are moving way beyond being a church member. You, God is in this time, is needed so bad. God is putting you in a position that you really can't be touched. You could reach for, but if you know what to do, you can stop it. It's only temporary. It's only the trying of your faith. Huh?
Yes,
sir. Don't even try any faith. So here, my goodness, look in Exodus chapter 3. The definition of the sovereignty of God is I am. I am. I am. Do you realize the things you've been through up to this point? If you had been functioning consistently in the ideal of the I am anointing on you, because of the connection you have with God? Do you know your prayer for certain things, you're going to shorten down, you don't have to pray that long for that? Because you're going in there as the owner of the answer. Are you following me? You're the owner. I am. Apostolically, the Lord says, tell my church they got to stop using phrases that they don't know nothing about. And they have to start functioning as I designed for them to function. See, this input, what I'm doing now, this input, what I'm putting in you. I had a pastor of a very large church sent me $2,000 and said, Sunday, he said, he had his sermon all set up and he had a pretty good sermon. He said, but he pushed it on the side. Thank you so much for what you said to us on Sunday. Yeah, he sent me a $2,000 check. He got a large church too. That's why he got a large church. He's smart. You're not. I feel anointed. You're not hearing regular teaching here. This is not regular. We're shifting gears. There's a remnant that going to be promoted during this time. And I used to hear the old Baptist song, say, I want to be in the number. being promoted. But Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. I want you to see this because we're identifying that the sovereignty of God is the I amness of God. And Moses said unto God, in verse 11, who am I? Now you see, thank you, Holy Ghost. You got to change your am I to I am. Because the first thing the devil said, who are you? You said, I am. I'm not am I no more. Good God Almighty. I like revelation on the spot. And Moses said unto God, who am I? It's not about you, Moses. So from now on, when you're dealing with something, don't you deal with who am I? You have to switch it around. You have to deal with I am. Because I am with me. You see the difference? He said that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Look what he said. Go to Pharaoh and bring the children out. That's who am I to do that? He said, but you're not going as who am I? I'm about to switch it around. Go to the next verse. Watch what happened now, children. And in your situation, it's the same way. And he said, you see, that's why I'm Jandaro. That's why Jesus, Lord Jandaro. Because I'm not on your who am I. I'm operating in I am. Because the Lord sent me. You see? Glory to God. And he said, suddenly, I will be with thee. Thank you, Lord. You got that? Yeah. Listen to that part of the scripture now. Suddenly, I will be with thee. Wow. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou have brought forth the people out of Israel. And no doubt about it whether you're going to bring them out or not. You shall serve God upon this mountain. Give me the next word. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your father have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What should I say unto them? Next word. Yeah, it is. See, now, Take this, before I read this 14th verse, take this out of the Moses setting. Take it to your house. Take it in your ministry. Take it in your personal life. Same God that give Moses the right to walk in his I amness, he sent his son to die to pay the price that we can walk in it. God said to Moses, wow. Look how he said, what he add on to it. I am, that's not good enough for you. I am that I am. Good God Almighty. I am that I am. And he said, thus should I say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I am. Now, but it's no good. This revelation, this scripture is no good if you leave it back in Egypt. See, what I have to bring to the body of Christ as an apostle, tell them, no, you can use that right now. You have to have a revelation of the I am that I am. That he's with me, that he sent me, that he's going to help me. That's why I talk about holiness. That's why I talk about chosen. That's why I talk about a peculiar people. That's why we talk about a royal priesthood. See, that's your connection. That's your connection. It's called for holy living. We read 1 Peter 15, 16, didn't we? We read that about be you holy for I am holy. Put that down, 1 Peter. I don't know if I told it to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. He said, be ye holy for I am holy. Holiness is very important. Now, holiness is not your ability. It's your yielding. But look at 1 Peter 1, 15. But as he which had called you is holy, so you telling me I could be that? Wait a minute. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation or lifestyle. Huh? Yeah, look at the 16th verse. Somebody talk to me up in here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because it is written, be ye. Now, God wouldn't tell you to do something you can't do.
Yes, sir.
Be ye holy, for I. Who is it?
Amen.
Who? What? I just got the revelation. I am holy. So, your I am-ness is in your holiness. I am holy. So when you're walking in holiness, you're walking in the I am-ness of God. That's the sovereignty of God. That's the authority of God. You see me?
Yes.
All right. Now, let's look at a few principles, applicable principles, things that you can run to at any given time in your life from this night forward. We're talking about accessing the sovereignty of God in every situation. Accessing sovereign God. You know, the power, the majesty, the greatness, all of that in there when you access his sovereignty. Knowing how to move in faith, the anointing, and into the glory. Three things. Knowing how to move in faith, the anointing, and into the glory. I'll give you scriptures. I might touch one or two. Jude 20. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 John 2:27. There's an anointing that abides in you that you see what I'm saying? Huh? And then that same passage that, well, no, it's another passage. Exodus 33:17-23 is when Moses had the audacity to ask the Lord, show me your glory. And if he was bold enough to ask for it, God said, I'm going to show it to you. Yeah, I'll show it to you. Many never asked for it. He asked, Lord, show me your glory. He said, now, boy, you can't stand all of me when I pass by. So I'm going to help you. Now, put your head in that cliff. When I come by, you're going to either see the back part. My glory, you couldn't handle all of it. Powerful, man. So knowing how to move in faith, the anointing into the glory, all three of them is functionable from the sovereignty of God. All three was given to you. The one I said in Jude 20, you pray in the Holy Ghost. 1 John 2:27, there's an anointing that abided in you. And then in Exodus 33, you can see in John 17 also tell you that Jesus prayed the glory down on you. Jesus made it known that how I've been doing what I was doing, I was operating in the glory of God, which is the sovereignty of God. You got your shouting clothes?
Yes, sir.
Knowing what to do when everybody else is afraid. That's what a child of God is supposed to be. Knowing what to do when everybody else is afraid. There's going to come a time that, thousands of people around, you're going to be afraid. But according to 2 Timothy 1:7, God have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Those three, that threefold, power, love, and a sound mind. The threefold, feed yourself on that, knowing what to do. Not, I love it. Knowing what to do when everybody else is afraid. You ever been in a room, everybody got afraid. You ever been in a family, everybody afraid. But you who listen to the sound of my voice, operating in that sovereignty of God and letting the Holy Spirit give you a consecrated, holy, sanctified life, you have power. You have power. You can't have power unless you have that sanctified life, man. Power, man. All right? Now, you've heard this said in some ways, but tonight I want to tie it into the sovereignty of God, which is not preached much in the church. See, the sovereignty of God. And he told me somewhat, I'm somewhat pioneering as an apostle. When apostles start pioneer, imposters are revealed. Yeah. And people got spirit, they know what's going on, and nothing happened. Watch what happened. Now, somebody will be ministered to on this third principle McGill. But I heard the Spirit say in this setting, the battle is not over until I win. See, when one functioning in this type of anointing, the battle may seem like it's still going on, but it's not over until I win. So sometimes there's a little extension on the battle so you can really get a good deliverance. You know, you can get out, but sometimes it permitted to go a little further because you got to put a greater whooping on it. 2 Timothy 4:6. 2 Timothy 4:6. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you getting it?
Yes, sir.
If I'm not ready to be off and the time my departure is at hand, go to the next verse. And now these things here, you got the clam kotalamando. Hold on to this. I have fought a good fight. Wait a minute, but I'm not through yet. Jump, cross, finish my course. I have kept the faith. Mm-hmm. So I'm fighting a good fight of faith.
Yes,
so he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. That is important in every battle for you to don't turn loose till it's finished, and it's not finished till you win. Okay. We're talking about accessing. Access, let me go back up and look at accessing the sovereignty of God in every situation. You listening?
Yeah.
There is always invisible victory that can only be seen by faith. In every situation, every scenario, every attack, every accusation, every weak moment, every flaw, shortcoming, there is invisible victory standing right at you. But it has to be attacked by faith.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 11:1. Now faith, now. See, now. See, the reason I know is always there because it's now. If it's not now, it's not faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So you always have invisible victory. Everything everybody dealing with tonight. Maybe a family problem. Maybe a marriage problem. Maybe a financial problem. Maybe a health, a sickness, disease problem. Maybe a child problem. Listen, invisible victory is always standing with the child of God out of God's sovereignty. In other words, here's something the Spirit is telling me now. God's sovereignty means I can solve it.
Yeah.
It's solved. It's solved. It don't look like it's solved in the dimension where you are, but stick with the idea and the understanding that I told you that nothing impossible with me, and I'm solving it for you. You may not look like you're making no tracks, but you're making tracks.
Yeah.
Who I help? Who I help online? Anybody dancing? Leroy, I told you to move your table back. You ought to be dancing now, because you're dealing with anything. It's already solved. We go back to 2 Peter. I gave Hebrews 11, 1 for that one. We go back to 2 Peter 2, 4. Because I want to go back there. I want to tell someone listening to me right now. I want to tell you something. 2 Peter 2, 4. That's not the scripture I want. 2 Peter 1 and 4. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Because I'm about to make a statement and it won't work with that verse there. It's a good verse, but it won't work. 2 Peter 1 and 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. They got stuck. They fell out, huh? All right. There you are. All right. Listen now, listen clearly. I want to scream this out. Your divinity must be released now. Your divinity. Whatever the devil trying to do, release your divinity on him. Demon can't have a divinity. Demons are not divine. You have the divine right to release your what? Your divinity. Say it. Yes. Whereby given to us exceeding great and precious promise that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. See, when you release that divinity, you're releasing the cross. You're releasing the blood. You're releasing the resurrection. You're releasing Jesus seated by the Father. You're releasing the coming of the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is upon you. That's how you release your divinity. So every time you pray in tongue, you're praying Rama. Huh? You remember the Bible talked about in John 7:37, he that thirsts to come to him, out of his belly shall flow living water. When you're praying in tongue, that's what's coming out of you, rivers of living water. Rhema and river of living water. Every time you pray in tongue, coming out of you. Oh, Lord, church. Don't y'all get scared now, but I'll tell y'all something now. Because when you go in this area here, turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 1. Acts 5, 1. I'm going to give you a statement. To access and activate the sovereignty of God, discernment must be yielded to. Discernment. You need to walk in discernment now because there are so many crafty things that come through the news media and technology and texting and all. You need to have discernment to know, hell no, I ain't doing that. Hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting into that. Now, you need to have the discernment to know it's from hell. It's not from God. It's not for you. It's just a little pleasure for a few minutes and destroy your life. No, I'm not doing it. Discernment. You see, you can make a quality decision without discernment. Because there's so much deception. That's it, Lord. Thank you. There's so much deception. There are so many people who can act right. They practice it. And they act like they're such a good person. But if you're in when you're releasing your discernment, you see clean through them. You're in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Keep going. Give me the second verse. And kept back part of the price. His wife also being private to it, and they brought a certain part. Now they told him they're going to bring it all. And laid it at the, who feed the lady that? at the apostle's feet. What happened? Go to the next verse. Jesus Christ. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart? Listen, you're not lying to me, boy. You're lying to the Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. And you know what happened, right? I don't want to read this epitaph. You know what happened, right? Because there could be more people scared. You know he died, right? You know he dropped dead. Huh? They don't preach this, you know. But that's just to keep a little covering of fear on us. Yeah. He died, and then she come back and lied, and she died too. They buried both of them. And said they had no funeral, just buried them. Discernment would be healed. All right. So you walk around with your discernment. And then the Lord told me something in Matthew. I see I don't even have a chapter here. I just got Matthew 15 through 19. So no telling what is that. Discoveries must be tapped into. Discoveries must be tapped into. The sovereignty of God will bring you into discoveries that no other way you can get it. Now, right here, what we're saying here in Darrow, this is a discovery. This is not supposed to be in Darrow. Now you got Darrow traffic. Yeah, you got to stop. You got 8 red lights to come through. Man, we ain't had no red light. And you got traffic on both sides now. Traffic just bumper to bumper. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Now, I'll get that other scripture for you, but look at listen. Don't waste this. Because I'm not out here just deliverance are ready to prevail. You didn't hear it. You heard it?
Yeah.
Deliverance, and more than one, are ready to prevail. Look in Acts 19:11. I want this applicable. I don't want this talking about my good teaching. I want you to be able to apply this. And God wrought special miracle by the hand of Paul. Look at the 12th verse. Jesus Christ. So that from his body was brought into the sick handkerchief or apron, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirit went out of them. See. Deliverance in your life. They're ready to prevail. Now look at verse 20 of that same moment. Acts 19:20. Acts 19:20. My God. Look at that. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Watch what I'm saying now. Through a man. Through a woman. So any type of bondage, any type of hindrance that been holding you, thus said the Lord, deliverance are ready to prevail. That's what he's saying to you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in that spot anymore. You have to be on that level anymore. Because your levels are limitless where God wants you to go. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at the next thing he says. Dominion is real and ready. Genesis 1:27-28. I'm almost closing. Dominion is real and ready. See, all of this come out when you start talking about the sovereign, operating in the sovereignty of God or activating the sovereignty of God. Man, goodness, Jesus Christ. Dominion is real and ready. God's people been held in denomination. God want them in dominion. Denomination is just like political thing. They're voting and every 4 years they got to fight. They don't supposed to be that. God chose the man and put the man in place and then the man give orders from God. Said no, democracy is a theocracy.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Man changed it.
Yeah.
So they lost power because they're too busy arguing, trying to get power, and all the power there.
Right.
Look at that. So God created man in his own image. In the I am image. In the image of God created he, him, male and female, created he them. Look at the next verse now. And God blessed them. And God said unto them. See, God blessed, God said, be fruitful. He ain't said, try to be fruitful. And multiply and replenish the earth. And he said, subdue it. And have what? Dominion. 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 Over the fish of the sea. And over the fire of the air. And over every living thing that move on the earth. Over cancer. Over diabetes. Over high blood pressure. Over family problems. Have dominion. Dominate. Stop being so disturbed. I'm dragging around like you're not going to make it. Now, in this aspect, and I want you to hear this, my brothers and sisters, you're here. You respect my ministry enough to be here tonight. Drawing closer to God is the church agenda now and forever. James 4:8. Drawing closer to God is so important. Everybody under the sound of my voice, draw closer to God. This thing gonna get so rough that a person not close to God is whipped before they even breathe. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Then you see what happened? Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He ain't talking to sinners. He's talking to saints who don't supposed to be sinners. that letter to the church. Yeah, clean your hand. No, see, they won't put that on the old boy out there. No, he's talking about you in the pulpit. Cleanse your hand, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. That's the only way you're going to draw nigh to God. You need help. I need help. You need help. All of us need help. Now in Jude, it's not defending the faith. What's that word he used in Jude? Turn there and see can you find that word. I think, look at the third verse. Jude 3 is not defending the faith. It's contending for the faith. We got too much doggone defending going on. You see, and Jude is talking about right now. Jude, you read the book of Jude. I don't know if you ever read that little book. Jude is talking about right now. What's happening right now? Men lustful, they're doing all women. They're just doing all kind of stuff. And what you do is contend for the faith. See, contending for the faith. You know, you don't have to defend the faith. You contend for the faith. And what is Jude 3? What do you say? And what does it say? It says there. It's in there. Yeah, contend for the faith. The third verse. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should honestly. Here we go. See, it's not a fight. This filth they're doing ain't no fight. The spirit of darkness cannot put out the spirit of light. You know, I talked about the other day, gay. They took that good word and put on them punks.
Yeah.
Gay meaning I'm happy, I'm joyous. I ain't calling them gay no more.
Right.
I'm gonna call them Goretta or something else.
Yeah.
And then they took the rainbow.
Yeah.
Beautiful color man. And it's something that to remind us God saved us. And see, but the church, none of them took it. The church said, Rand Bofa, not it! Rand Bofa, a holy man and a holy woman.
Yes, sir.
Ain't for no whores and homosexual and lesbian. And that Rambo ain't for them. The Rambo for the church.
Yes.
Gee.
That's right.
Yeah. Now you can't be hustling for an offering preaching like this. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, we got to contend for the faith. Contend for holiness. Contend for righteousness. Contend for the faith. We don't have to defend it. Contend for it. They want you to defend it. Well, y'all got to walk in love. I love, but I don't love that stuff you're doing. You follow what I'm saying? Huh? You ain't gonna make me guilty. And you the one messing up. Shoo. Well, again, the next one hit it just right. Denouncing all lies and all failing in the name of Jesus. Denouncing all lies and all failing in the name of Jesus. That's Acts 17:28. In him, we live, we move, and we have our being. So lies not going to get me and failure not going to get me. Are you here with me?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to give you two or three more and I'm going to close. I've been preaching about 45 minutes. Destroying the work of the thief. Then 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. John 10:10 said, the thief comes down but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Destroying. Destroy. See, be on purpose. Live holy. On purpose, walk by faith. On purpose, praise the Lord. On purpose, live a clean life. Hold up the bloodstained banner. That's what, when I was a young Baptist boy preacher, I used to hear them, oh, sister say, I'm holding up the bloodstained banner. They meant it too, partner. Now, I didn't even write notes for this next one. Scriptures, you can go all over the New Testament. But I want to make this statement so you can leave here with it on you. Because whatever Jesus did, you and I can do it.
Yes,
all right? And matter of fact, what he was doing was to fulfill the will of the Father. That's our job. He paid the price for everything we saw him do for us to be able to do it. You got it? Because this statement is going to almost bring climatic moments to this message. Jesus wore, W-R-E, like a suit, like a dress, huh? Like a pair of shoes. Jesus wore the I am sovereignty of the Father. Meaning, Leroy can wear the I am sovereignty of the Father as long as I obey him. So everybody listen to me tonight. It was your trip. It was your click. It was your time. You leave here tonight knowing that I can wear the I am sovereignty of God.
That's right.
Meaning everything already solved.
Yeah.
Things will come, things may go, but I know they already solved because the sovereignty of God can't be stopped and I'm operating in the sovereignty of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Who he is, I am. I wish I could call Pharaoh on the scene tonight. Pharaoh got to messing around when that boy talked to him. That boy said, look, I am sent me now. You better let me go. Pharaoh said, well, go ahead. Then he could go catch him up and stop him again. Then the I am said to Moses, you don't have to go tonight.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute now. I want you to balance that out.
Yeah.
a person come before you, against you so many times, then God said, sit down, Leroy. I'm going tonight. Anything holding you down, anything holding you back, you better know it. That sovereignty of God is ready to move on your behalf. We don't have a thing to worry about. It's going to get worse. They're going to lie. They're going to deceive. They're going to have churches falling out. They're going to have pastors and bishops and everybody, doctors and popes and everybody falling apart. But God has a remnant that walking in his word, going to live a clean and holy life, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.